Pot of Wonder, now equipped with 100% more long boy.
Just when I started recording. Great timing.
You're listening to Pot of Wonder, a podcast where we create a world for a tabletop role-playing game. Each week, we take a genre trope and random Wikipedia article and turn fact into fiction in 15 minutes. This season, we're building a world in the genre of murder mystery.
All right. Oops, and my microphone was kind of dangling out for a second. All right, cool. Pot of Wonder, season 3, episode... Is this 5, I think?
5.
5. Woo. Yay! Not even halfway there. But we're moving along, and I honestly think this is the most cohesive and coherent and listenable season yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Cleared the low bar.
Oh my God. I when we were pre-gaming for the Bowie Ball over a week ago, I was talking to a friend, John, who has a flight back to Germany, and asked if he should go back and listen to the first season. Megan, you weren't there for that. For some reason, I thought you were there, and I laughed pretty hard and said, "No, you do not," and I really advise you against it. Start with number 2. We kind of have a better idea of what we're doing, and by season 3, we think we finally got it.
Yeah.
So, John, if you're listening, thank you, and I'm sorry if you did in fact go back to season 1.
We're so sorry, but we warned you.
You'll hear this much later, and again, I'm sorry.
You were warned.
True. Very, very true.
It's your own fault.
Yeah.
Pot of Wonder.
Yeah. That's right. Season 1 is everyone else's fault because no one else was listening and asking us, why the hell are you making any of the decisions you're making? Anyways, Maritime Mermaid Murder Mystery.
We Evidence. Have attention spans.
And we're doing evidence, and we're doing
evidence in our
rule breaking season. We're going to generate our articles on the count of 3. But this time, doing something a little different, because evidence tends to not be a single thing. If things are done right, it tends to be many things. So, in that spirit, we're generating 3 pieces of evidence this season, based on all of our articles, or this episode rather, and. Sorry, I've got a cat that's just popped up to say hello after he left the room.
Hi, kitty.
He is
podcast.
He's just sniffing around. Wow, sorry. I'm causing the ADD this episode. I apologize.
It was your turn.
Yeah. That's right. According to the disruptor chart that we prepared earlier, it is my week.
I think refresh everybody, us included. I think we said that we, our hedgehog victim, Mikos Bubowski, was kind of found in like an airlock, sort of between the underwater part of the city meets with the Coral Plaza, kind of like the land dwellers, shopping center / like governmental seat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's an upscale district surrounding all that government work, but there's also a lot of kind of slummier areas, let's say, that is an unfortunate look into the disproportionate levels of wealth just in that tiny dome, that tiny, tiny air dome. It's
very tightly packed.
Yes. Yes.
A powder keg, if you will.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as if something like this was bound to happen at some point around these parts. And there was also an ominous bar clash with a spider that is also another concurrent legal case that might be referenced later. I just figured I'd bring it up again now.
Yep.
Since it's only a week later since it was mentioned last, and it is
it's been fresh a whole in my week. Mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an entire week.
And it's probably the last time I'll remember it, too. Should we generate them articles?
Ready to go.
3, 2, 1, and evidence.
Enter.
Woo!
Evidence. Okay. Okay.
Ah, the high pitched to your voice means it's a good one.
Well, it's an article on Wikipedia.
Megan, how do you feel about yours?
I feel very good about mine. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about mine because this looks like there's some potential here. Danny, since you've got the most trepidation, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so I have Bay Systems. BAE is a British multinational defense, security, and aerospace company. It is the third largest defense company in the world. It was formed in 1999 by a $7 billion merger of two other defense companies. Basically, it does defense company type things. They build aircraft and tanks and having creepy, pernicious fingers into various parts of the world, presumably in the name of democracy or monarchy, I guess, since it's a British company.
For queen and country, yes. And all that. Megan, what you got?
All right. I've got the Pendle Witches. Ooh. Sure. The trials of the Pendle witches in 1812
was kind of late for a witch trial.
but they're among the most famous witch trials in English history and some of the best recorded of the 17th century. There were 12 who were accused. They lived in the area surrounding Pendle Hill in Lancashire and were charged with the murders of 10 people by the use of witchcraft.
Ooh.
All but two were tried at Lancaster Assizes, along with the Samlesbury witches and others, in a series of trials that have become known as the Lancashire Witch Trials. Of the 11 who went to trial, 9 women and 2 men, 10 were found guilty and executed by hanging, and 1 was found not guilty.
Huh. I have Guy Bradley. He was an American game warden and deputy sheriff for Monroe County, Florida. I was from Chicago and moved to Florida. And he was big into fishing and hunting, but was also super into protecting, into conservation and protecting endangered species. It was the early 1900s. In Florida, it's apparently always kind of a shady area. He was shot and killed at the age of 35 after confronting a man and his two sons who were hunting egrets in the Everglades. And when I say shot at 35, he is the kind of 35 that looks 20 years older than that, because that's how people aged back then. Like when you start smoking cigarettes at age 6, I guess.
A hard 35.
Yeah, yeah. He's a Florida 35.
Oh, God.
But yeah, all around good dude who is trying to do good, who is gunned down. So I think there's potential here.
I will say we have 2 British articles, and since we decided last episode that bears are British, it kind of makes sense as pieces of evidence.
I really like that.
Ooh.
Just because we each need to read 3 articles.
Yeah.
Like, we can kind of, like, do an article, everybody reads it, like, you two ask me questions, then we take a small break, read the second article, then we ask questions to Megan, and so forth.
I like that.
That way it's not like we're not trying to like switch gears immediately and remember what we already read.
Ooh, what if like for the, like after all the articles, we do kind of like a brief scene of Tentacles, not Ron, like discovering all this evidence and like picking it up and examining it and completely misinterpreting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the mini hot seat. Okay, so for that minute, the person who has the article, they have to run down how Tentacles is fundamentally misunderstanding this piece of evidence. Mm-hmm.
And I guess you two would be Tentacles' assistants.
I feel like we're trying to properly interpret what's like, we're trying to get the real interpretation of what it means, because we know how he is.
You're trying to steer me towards the obvious, like what the answer is, and I'm just not having it.
Cool.
Evidence 1. Danny's article, BAE Systems.
They have been investigated by the Serious Fraud Office, a very British bureaucracy name, for selling arms to Chile, the Czech Republic, Romania, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Tanzania, and Qatar. Ooh. fully half of this article is just them acquiring other companies, like a Dutch defense company, like a Dutch cyber defense company, an Australian defense contractor.
The Dutch defense company is mostly about preventing people on mushrooms from falling into the canals. Pot of wonder. Figure let's add a rejoiner in here. Structuring things a little differently, we're going to have 7 minutes to pepper Danny with questions for the first article, with a one-minute hot seat round wherein he is a bumbling detective, tentacles not Ron's, notes that fundamentally misunderstand that piece of evidence. 7 minutes on the clock. What is this piece of evidence?
Okay, so this article, Base Systems, is a lot of corporate names and acquisitions and selling and bidding and stuff. So I'm going a tiny bit literal with this and just saying that in the wallet of our victim, Mikos Bubowski, is like dozens of business cards for like various like defense contractors and construction firms and like government officials and military types. He's been meeting a lot of people in a lot of potentially threatening or scary positions. And it's not particularly clear why, because there's not a whole lot of like need for security or offense in our Pelagia, our fair city.
I really like that, because that's also, I guess, would raise some questions as to like what are his true motives then, because he would seemingly be a person who, based on how he comes at the council and his stance on you know, not bulldozing through a historical landmark, this is painting him in a whole new light. I really like this. What is the biggest red flag in the business cards that were found?
Okay. So I think probably the biggest one is the Hertie Group, H-E-R-T-I. And they are a land-based organization. It stands for the High Endurance Rapid Tree Insertion.
Oh my.
You know, they, you know, on the surface, they're involved in kind of like terraforming-esque populations, like turning like swamps and like tundras and deserts into more inhabitable areas. And there's not really a reason for them to do any kind of undersea work, as far as we know.
Megan?
So what about the receipt for an offshore bank account in his name?
Well, that is, you know, it's not unusual. Certainly a land-based creature has plenty of things offshore. You know, it might be with a particular company that has some business dealings in the in Pelagia and other underwater cities. That's totally normal as far as I'm concerned.
But the account was in his name, and go too deep into the details of the case, but there were seven figures, very high seven figures, in the account, which according to tax records, there's no way he could have made that in his entire life, including birthday checks from grandma. Can you explain that part of his shady accounting?
Just to clarify, am I answering as a world builder or as Tentacles?
A world builder. The Tentacles is like a minute thing. So this is the real stuff.
I don't have to lie to you then. Cool. yeah, so there are, you know, a few high-placed charitable gifts, they will likely be called, as, you know, because he, Mikos, is in a pretty high place in the Pelagian government as one of the land representatives. So, you know, a lot of companies want to buy his, you know, buy him dinner, buy him houses, buy him battleships, just to try and curry a bit of favor with someone who can be the gateway to the underwaters.
And what about his, again, one of the other business cards was a dubious. They claim to be a legitimate business organization, but due to their strange matching overalls, are considered by some to be a work cult that peddles on slave labor. What about his alleged connection to the Oshkosh group?
Well, the Oshkosh group is certainly a controversial group, but their records make it very clear that all of the people who join do so willingly. Any parts of their former lives that they sign away are, you know, done so with full knowledge that they will be put towards the good of the group as a whole. And but gosh darn it if they don't get some good charitable works done.
So what about the cards that referenced Project Nimrod?
Project Nimrod is an acronym. God, why did I say that? It stands for the Nuclear Intensity Machine Ready For, which is, you know, one R, ready for.
We don't have a security clearance high enough for the rest of the letters.
Yeah. Ready for what?
Yeah.
That's above your pay grade, soldier. Perfectly normal nuclear intensity machine.
Perfectly normal nuclear intensity machine. Pot of wonder. All right. Let me set it. We'll go. You can discuss what this means to Tentacles. So, Tentacles, what do you make of the contents of the wallet?
Well, clearly the victim, Mr. Bubowski, had a lot of friends. I see him as a high society type. He's got a really a nice suit on. He's wearing lots of rings. He's got a lot of friends. He holds a lot of parties, and of course, as is customary, you take a business card when you meet somebody.
But who would be friends with the Oshkosh group? How does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, you see, the Oshkosh group probably just wanted to open up a branch here in Pelagia. And, we got a lot of different creatures like myself with multiple limbs. They have to, you know, study to make the proper number of legs in their overalls.
Oh, I need the migraine medicine. There's some big players in that. Why would a community organizer have connections to groups like that?
Maybe they were scouting him to join up. He's not too far past his prime. He could easily serve on a military expedition or perhaps learn coding in order to learn how to computer defenses.
How to computer defenses.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 seconds left. Not worth it. I was going to try to fit a seahorse girl into it, but I couldn't process fast enough.
If only.
If only.
You tried.
Yep.
Sort of.
Pot of wonder. I tried, sort of.
Evidence 2, Megan's article, The Pendle Witches.
Janet said her mother had a familiar called Ball, which appeared in the shape of a brown dog, and which Ball had been asked to help with various murders.
Good boy. Oh, good boy. Murdering so good. Yes, he does.
Yes. Who's your good murderer? Oh, you are.
Good murder boy.
He'd do a murder, but he's still a good boy.
Alice Nutter is apparently the only evidence against her was that she was told of the murder and didn't speak out against her fellow witch accusees, who coincidentally, I assume, happened to be Catholic.
Snitches get stitches.
Megan, why don't you say what your piece of evidence is?
Okie dokie. So my piece of evidence, I forget, what was the name of our suspect again?
I don't think we named him, so I'm just going to assume it's Grundy.
Yeah, John Grundy. I think we just kept calling him John Grundy.
Yeah, it's such a good name.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like evidence that was found on like a search of Grundy's like home. We're just going to say that maritime law has a much lower bar for what's needed to search someone's home. So I'm going to say that they found just like in like a back room in Grundy's home, they found like a book of magic for beginners, like curses, hexes, 101, and like a big box of just like pins. I'm getting that from the events leading up to the trial section where one of the accused, Demdike's granddaughter, Alzon Device, encountered John Law and asked him for some pins. And 17th century metal pins were handmade and relatively expensive, but were frequently needed for magical purposes, such as in healing, divination, and for love magic. I'm going to say for the sake of this, they're also used for curses and hexes and stuff like that. And Grundy was like looking into not so great methods maybe for getting what he wants.
Wow. I just saw a line that is an amazing detail.
Go on.
Ooh, what is it?
I will ask Megan about it.
Okay.
Do it. 7 minutes. Let's do this.
Well, in this back room with these sort of magical ephemera and magic for beginners, there was also 8 pounds of oatmeal. What do you make of that?
I feel like the oatmeal was likely used to form some kind of barrier for the spells. It's often used to mix in with these pins. It's like, you know, instead of a needle in a haystack, it's a needle in an oatmeal stack.
Okay.
It's just like maybe, you know, sneaking pins into oatmeal to serve to bad people.
Mm. According to certain passages highlighted in the book, there may be some connection to the site he was praying to protect, Lancashire Castle. Because, yeah, let's put a name on that thing. Has there been a history of occult groups meeting up at this space in recent years? Is that a thing that people do, or is that just kind of a one-off thing from the book?
It's a popular spot for, you know, especially teenagers when they're in their witchcraft phase. Not really any, you know, big groups or important groups. It's just, you know, occasionally there will be a group of like teenagers or young adults that just like get together and make their own coven and go there because it's got the right atmosphere of being ancient and somewhat isolated. So there's been, you know, instances of witchcraft and finding remnants of like rituals there, but usually it's just, you know, fairly harmless. Just, lighting up some bioluminescent candles. I was gonna say lighting candles, but like it's under the sea. Yeah. I can't
like putting a glow worm into a
yeah like it's a glow worm candle, like
a glow stick, and they shake up and cartoon style the worm wakes up and starts to glow.
Yeah
exactly.
Danny, did you have another one?
How important is it for these needles to be handmade?
Typically considered quite important, at the very least, when you have these needles that are handmade, it shows that the person has a lot more dedication than, you know, your average teenager who's just dabbling. So it's more of a concern that he got needles that do appear to actually be handmade, because that doesn't typically match what more casual dabblers do. Casual dabblers do.
casual dabbler. That sounds a little creepy. Now, mm-hmm. Is there a chance he could simply be a fan of the daytime soap opera that was inspired from this alleged, quote, book of witchcraft, the Pendle Witch Child. He did have a full DVD set, after all.
Is this cosplay?
Yeah. Yeah. Is any thought on this being just intricate cosplay?
That's always a possibility, but as it was kind of in a back room, set aside together without any other sort of props. And I haven't really heard much in the way of this person, of Grundy being a cosplayer. It's possible he might just be getting into it at a later age, but I think that if that were the case, there would probably be more costumey and showy elements and not really have the pins all just in a box. Together, and then sacks of oatmeal, because...
Yeah. What is the place of magic in this world? Is it kind of, like, relegated to, like, crystal and incense shops, like our world, or is it, like, considered a thing you can actually call upon if you do it right?
I would say it's ambiguous, because there's definitely a lot of suspicion about it, but... like a lot of people like just claim, oh, well, it's not real. It doesn't really work. You have nothing to worry about. But there's also a lot of superstition and, you know, fear of it a little bit. It's, you know, it even if people think that, oh, well, it's not real, it won't actually hurt me, they're still like very, very concerned, and it's not considered, you know, acceptable to even show maybe a casual interest in it for fun. It's mostly just seen as like, oh no, this is bad. Don't tempt fate here. So maybe. We'll see.
Now there's already in certain occult circles a petition. It seems they're starting to see him as a folk hero of sorts due to this this evidence. What are your thoughts on Anna Goldie's notorious witch, alleged witch, and convicted murderers coming out in support of our guy here?
Well, it does not bode well for him, and doesn't very much look good for his image, having such a notorious person leaping to his defense and supporting him. It's definitely not something that's going to help him at trial, and I bet the prosecution will utilize that support to, you know, present their case that this is legitimately bad stuff.
Yeah, perfect cool. Timing. So now, as Tentacles, with 2 minutes. So, Tentacles, the witchcraft stuff.
Yes.
What do you make of it?
I mean, obviously, he was, you know, working magic. I bet you anything. I bet you my favorite tentacle that he absolutely did succeed in doing magic, and that is how Milos died.
One, I know your favorite tentacle is your wiping tentacle, and I don't appreciate it when you bring it up like that. Two... when's the last time you saw real magic? What, like, do you actually believe in magic?
Well, of course I do. Who wouldn't? It's obviously true. You can see yourself. This guy had these, you know, methods of creating hexes, and it worked, clearly.
How did it work? I don't understand.
Well, obviously he was practicing these things and practicing these curses. And then Mielus died and was killed. I mean, obviously, the magic made it happen.
What evidence is there that the spell he was casting was targeting Mielus?
Oh, well, you know, I saw the, you know, he had one of Mielus' business cards out on the table nearby.
Back to the business cards again. Oh, Tentacles, let's not walk in a circle.
Time is a flat circle.
I really wanted to ask a question about the pet ball, but I wasn't sure what a pet would be for animal creatures. Like would it be a tiny human?
That
would be
just God.
Weird. Oh, no!
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Pets are Brendan Fraser from Encino Man.
I haven't seen
No, not many people have. It is a terrible movie, but young Brendan Fraser, Sean Astin, and American Treasure, Pauly Shore.
So just a bunch of tiny Brendan Frasers on leeches walking through towns.
I hate it, but I don't.
I feel an episode image coming to mind now.
Yes. And... Oh my fucking God. We can just end the episode now. I think that wins.
No, no. We did the song and dance. You got to do it too.
Damn it.
Yeah, yeah. You have to do it too.
Evidence 3. Eddie's article. Guy Bradley.
At the turn of the 20th century, vast numbers of birds were being killed in order to provide feathers to decorate women's hats. Many species faced extinction as a result, just for some fucking fancy-ass hats.
We've been kind of planting like a bird separatist movement on the surface. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could come into play here.
Yeah, yeah. I like you bringing that up, because that kind of tacks on nicely to where I was going with my evidence.
Seen as different from the other wild young men in Flamingo, Bradley was described as pleasant, quiet, fair with blue eyes, always whistling, and a pretty good violinist.
Pretty good. Not great.
What's your evidence piece?
So, my piece of evidence is a hunting rifle that was responsible for the murder of a prominent bird separatist, but... that gun had gone missing right before the trial from evidence. Now, they can't find his fingerprints on it, or his paw prints. Yeah, paw prints. but it was found in his possession.
In Grundy's possession?
In John Grundy's possession, yeah.
Ah.
Like, not even in a side room, just straight up on the living room table. 7 minutes, and go.
Okay, so I know we kind of established last week Grundy had a bit of a... rough and tumble period. Did he ever specifically antagonize any of the birds?
There was a scuffle in his past. That's one of his earlier rap sheets. He happened to, on a bender, there's a history of this with him, stumbled into an all bird bar. And it's not like he wasn't allowed there, but he was literally and spiritually, I guess, taking up a lot of space. And started a fight there. So, yeah, bird bar fight. But no real outward animosity. But also, he didn't really do anything. He didn't, like, go out of his way to promote bird causes.
So the bird this rifle was used to kill, Frank Chapman, he was a bit of a notorious figure on the surface. Could you tell us a bit about him?
I mean, notorious on the surface, yes, but if you talk to the bird community, he did a lot of charitable works. He's a kind of a mover and the shaker in the community, a little bit untouchable too, which is kind of why at the time it was a little weird that a little suspicious that the evidence went missing right before the trial, because people thought he was just that connected. Big fan of... he was almost kind of the bird community's John Grundy, come to think of it, would kick down the door at meetings, but was a lot wealthier. Let's put it this way. If they found an offshore bank account with seven figures worth of whatever their money is, it wouldn't be suspicious for him. So, yeah, possibly bird mafia.
So we didn't find Grundy's prints on this gun. Whose prints are on it?
That's the thing. It still had the original evidence bag on it, but it's almost as if someone with the bag, not opening the bag or trying to damage it, tried to wipe the gun clean. So there are partial prints. But the records that initially recorded the fingerprints that were on there are also missing.
You got anything, Megan?
Okay. What does this have anything to do with the 10,000 islands nearby?
Oh, shit. I was actually going to bring that up at some point. Funny you mentioned the 10,000 islands, which is really just a touristy exaggeration. It's like it's underwater. How is it an island? It's like a super touristy chain of restaurants And there aren't 10,000 of them. There's no goddamn way. And it's kind of, it's what land dwellers think sea dweller food is. So it's a lot of appropriation and some discrepancy. And, but John Grundy, a big fan of it. Lots of those bags hanging around.
So one of the key issues in the bird separatist movement is religious practices, particularly how they handle their dead. What happened to Mr. Chapman's body after he was shot?
It typically goes back to the family, like the blood relatives. But because of, I don't know, there were rumors of certain favors that were owed. There were certain other high, you know, wheeling and dealing types that had a, I don't know, let's call it for what it is, a mob-like presence in the bird separatist movement. They kind of took it from the religious to kind of an intimidation technique where they plumed their hats with his feathers. And it was kind of like, it was kind of a, he had a very specific shade of white in his feather with kind of a unique little speckle to it. So when one of these guys has one of those feathers, you know.
So is the case of that murder considered solved? Mm-hmm. And if so, who was found guilty of it?
It kind of got thrown out of court because that key piece of evidence went missing. If they initiated the trial with no evidence to start with, it would be one thing, but because of this irregularity and, as we mentioned before, sea law, because the crime happened in a marsh, it happened technically in the water, so it was handled by sea law courts. There's a simplicity to it. No evidence, irregularity, trial canceled. If the evidence pops up again, they could retry somebody found with the gun, perhaps. You know, that might happen now that they found the evidence again. But it's kind of like putting a pin in it, and everyone resumes their normal lives until the evidence comes back. That was also a sticking point, a point of contention with a bird separatists, how that trial was handled, and that kind of friction might be why the certain pieces of evidence went missing. But we'll never know for sure, or will we later this season? Tentacles. All right, so we got a gun here wrapped in plastic. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Bubowski wasn't shot though.
Yeah. He was hit with it, clearly. Just bludgeoned with a gun. It's the perfect crime, really. You know, somebody's knocked out. You know, you find a gun in their apartment. No, they clearly would have had to be shot with this weapon. No, use the gun as a bludgeon.
Wouldn't there be like blood on the bag or like bits of plastic on the body though?
That's a plastic bag. Easy cleanup.
Yeah. I mean, if even with the plastic bag, like you would assume there'd be some kind of impressions left.
I don't know. These are evidence bags. They're pretty sturdy, guys. And that gun, pretty sturdy model. That's why there's no wear and tear. But definitely used as a bludgeon. I proved my case to the other assistant that you see laid out before you earlier this morning before the two of you came in.
Oh, that's one of the barefoot mailmen.
Yeah, you thought he was taking a nap. He might need some medical help.
Oh, God, that's Harold.
but see, it does work as a bludgeon. I mean, I could try it again if you're really interested.
No, I don't think we need that. Tentacles, have you napped recently?
No, not in like 6 days. Why do you ask?
Okay. It just seems like
this makes a lot of sense.
Maybe this case might be a bit too big for you. It's kind of kind of all over the place here.
No. Let me prove it one last time. Y'all are too clearly chicken. I'm just gonna take this thing and bludgeon myself. And a one, and a two, and a.
Oh boy.
Oh God. Okay.
You know, if he didn't just hand us checks and tell us to write our own amount on them, I would quit this job.
I did like us all kind of peering into the inner workings of Tentacles this episode.
Uh-huh.
What'd y'all think of that format of kind of using all the articles? No, it took a little longer, but I kind of something different.
Yeah, I like it. I like it as like a way to switch it up sometimes.
Yeah, like it's not an every episode thing, but it's definitely a sometimes food.
Yeah, maybe like once per season, do something like this, like when it's appropriate for it.
Pot of Wonder can have a little salami as a treat.